Blog Talk Radio. Jones, and I'm here with
you, Savior Tylon Washington,
and we're actually filling in for the most wonderful Kay Thompson and Gus Henningberg on the Kay and Gus show.
Wait, I got to correct you. We're trying to fill in. You know, they have big shoes.
We are attempting
huge shoes to fill.
We're attempting to sit in for the great and legendary Kay Thompson and Gus Henningberg. For those who may not know and couldn't understand why you don't, but for those small, you know, amount of people who don't know, Kay Thompson was the host of WLIV's Urban Notebook. Is also a former educator and all around wonderful person.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And also Gus Henningberg, who had over, I think, 20 years of doing the
30.
No, I think it was 20 years. He can correct me, I guess, when I see him, but many years over at NBC hosting a wonderful program, Positively Black. And even before that, I mean, he's a tough act to follow. I heard he made a lot of changes walking out on a runway at Newark Airport fighting for jobs. And it was quite successful because, you know, when you go to, you know, the airports and they have the duty-free shops, you can just salute Gus and thank him for that.
And now they're here on the Kay and Gus show at GoPro Radio Network.
That's
here,
right,
at BW
right.
Moving Images.
Well, they're
Images.
Not here. They're not here physically.
No, because, I mean, they have a show here.
Right, right. Because they're under the weather. And we're going to actually call in and check on Kay and Gus. They're a little under the weather, but Kay is well enough to join us via phone. So Kay is going to be here. As a matter of fact, is Kay here with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Keep talking. Oh. You sound so great. I love what you're saying about us. How are you both?
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you, and it's a little sporadic, but that's okay. Gus is a little bit under the weather. I'm here, you know, with him. And, you know, I just love, listen, I love the praise, so you can continue on if you want to. How are you both doing? Hi, Ty. Hi, Ayana.
Hi. Listen, this is great. I don't know. This is great. You might have to fight.
I love it.
Seat back, Kay.
Yeah. You know, here I am here in, I'm not going to say where, but in New Jersey. You guys are in Jersey City, in New Jersey. Let me see. We have Eric listening out there in California, and we have Donald Payne, Congressman Donald Payne, rather, is listening right in Washington. So is he on with us, or shall we, you know, give some information about him? Because, you know, we're going to be talking to him. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were going to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm
sure.
Happy. Well, listen, I want to show off my knowledge, if you don't mind. But Donald Payne is a native of Newark, New Jersey, and he was elected to represent the 10th Congressional District of New Jersey in 1988.
And the first African-American congressman, by that.
Right.
And by an overwhelming majority. All these things very important. And he's returned by a wide margin of the vote in each subsequent election.
That's
and
right.
In 2010, he won election to his 12th term to represent the 10th district.
Wow.
In the 112th Congress.
Right.
Exactly. Now, he serves as chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, which is just a wonderful event that happens every single year where African-American people from all areas of politics, education, and commerce can come together to network, and a lot of wonderful opportunities come out of that. And the mission of it is to advance the global Black community by developing leaders through internship and fellowship programs, informing policy, and educating the public.
Mm.
He's also a senior member of the House Committee on Education and the Workforce, where he serves on two subcommittees, the Subcommittee on Early Childhood and the Elementary and Secondary Education, and the Subcommittee on Workforce Protection.
So it's great to actually have a sitting congressman to help us make sense of all the stuff that's going on in Washington, because I don't quite understand it. I'm a product of the New York City Board of Education. I didn't do good with the economics, so this debt ceiling and all this, hopefully I'll have a greater understanding after we have this conversation. Well,
actually, we're going to be talking to him about a number of things, because mm-hmm. there's a lot going on in Africa, and I know that Congressman Payne is very active out there in terms of informing people as to the opportunities that are available in Africa. So he's going to be talking about that, as well as this debt ceiling thing. I think, actually, we can put him on if we have the congressman on the line.
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome.
Welcome, Congressman Payne. Wonderful to have you on the KMDES show.
Great. Great to be on your show. Thank you.
So
you're welcome. Hello, Congressman Payne. How are you? Well, listen, we're going to be thank you, Ty. Thank you, Ayanna. But let me get to Donald right now, to Congressman Payne right now. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How about yourself?
Good, good. I was just telling Ty and Ayanna, you know, I love this. You know, here I'm in Jersey somewhere. I'm not going to say where. You're in Washington, D.C. Both of them are in Jersey City. People are listening from here to all of over the world, as a matter of fact. We're getting people calling in. As a matter of fact, we talked to a lady last week from the CDC, Gus's daughter, Anne Renee, and she took us practically on a trip throughout so many different countries in Africa. So this is right where you come in, Donald, because you're the ranking member of the Committee on Global Health and Africa and Human Rights, and you're an expert on Africa. But before we get to that, and before I start telling people that you're a former educator, I want to get to that, can you tell us what in the heck is going on in Congress? What is this debt ceiling? How does it affect us?
And what's a super committee?
Well, they're all very good questions, and let me just say that as we all know that President Obama inherited a very dismal picture when he was elected and assumed the presidency. The Bush administration had been reckless in its spending, started two wars, had a very big prescription drug benefit, which was actually good for seniors. Called it Part D, where the federal government would pay much of the prescription drugs that seniors incurred. However, they did not provide a mechanism to pay for it. And then finally, President Bush had a tax cut, which primarily benefited the very wealthy, although it did include everyone. But of course, what a moderate income person, you know, making $50,000 or $60,000 or $30,000 or $40,000, you know, benefited by maybe $1,000 or $2,000. However, the billionaires were able, and millionaires were able to benefit by hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so this Bush tax cut that went in 2002 and was supposed to expire in 2010, President Obama was forced to continue the Bush tax cuts for another 2 years. So that has taken trillions of dollars out of our income. Mm-hmm. And so when you had increased spending from the two wars, Afghanistan and Iraq, when you had the prescription drug benefit that any senior over 65 had, the right to get up to $400 or $500 more of prescription drug benefits, pay for another several hundred, and then go back to the government paying if it was sort of catastrophic, once again put a heavy cost, which I did not oppose the program. However, we should have provided for mechanisms to pay for it, and finally with the tax cuts, primarily for the millionaires and billionaires, and with tax loopholes to large corporations, income suffered and therefore exacerbated the debt problem.
So listen, let me ask you this. We still don't understand it, all right? I still don't understand it. How does this affect us? Is this good for us, bad for us? Is it good for seniors, bad for seniors? Is it good for Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera?
Well, you had to raise the tax ceiling or we would have been unable to pay the debts coming forward.
Okay.
Actually, what the debt ceiling does really deals with previously obligated spending.
That
and they're sort of bills
Obama.
That, right, these mm-hmm. are bills that are becoming due now. And so we have a responsibility to pay those bills. Now,
bill,
what? Yeah, go ahead.
A bill to who? Like, who are we paying money to?
Bills are, for example, the bill is the payment of Social Security benefits. Social Security is under its own trust fund, but it's for the payment of Medicare. Mm-hmm. It's for the payment of Medicaid. As you know, a person who has a very low income is eligible for Medicaid, which means that they get government health care because their income is at a level, it's usually about $5,000 a year, so they qualify for Medicaid. So the bills are the hospitals who have treated people that are sending the bills to the government to pay for the indigent people whose services have been provided by the hospitals. That's one example.
So basically what you're saying is the money that was supposed to pay for these things has been spent elsewhere, and so now we've borrowed against the money that we were supposed to be giving to the American citizens, say, for like Medicare and Social Security and that kind of thing, and now we're scrambling to try to find the money to pay that? Is that a layman's definition?
That's right. You see, by raising the debt limit, you usually don't have to scramble. What currently, the debt has gotten out of control. Believe it or not, under President Clinton, we had a balanced budget. And actually, the trajectory that he was on by the programs that he put in had us scheduled to have a surplus, which meant that we would perhaps not had to raise the debt limit had that trajectory remained. However, when President Bush came in, started the wars, as I mentioned, reduced taxes and increased spending for medical attention to the seniors, that kind of eliminated the projected surplus and therefore started the deficit. What we did in 1996 or 97 was
under
that there
who
was
at
a proposal,
time?
Right?
Under who at that time?
Under President Clinton.
Okay.
There was a proposal that was introduced. Some of the stuff, I didn't like it. Number one, you may remember his theme was that the era of big government is gone. That was a statement that he made. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that he did was to end welfare as we know it.
Mm.
What you may recall, that people who were on ADC, Aid to Dependent Children, could stay on ADC for life. I mean, as long as they had a child under 18, the government provided the income for those children.
Mm-hmm.
What happened under Clinton was that you would only be able to have welfare payments for 2 years and a lifetime of 5 years, which could not be consecutive to the 2 years. So what happened, you may recall, maybe many people have forgotten, that public assistance was mm-hmm. drastically changed.
Yes,
of course,
it was.
That reduced the cost to the federal government because aid to, it's really AFDC, Aid to Families with Dependent Children, 90% of that money would come from the federal government. So that program, and there was a $250 billion cut in different programs, many programs that I liked, but there was also a $250 billion increase on the top 1% of the income earners in the country, and that $500 billion in 96, which would be, say, equivalent to maybe a couple of trillion dollars with inflation bumped in over the course of 15 years. Pardon? That trajectory of the $500 billion cut in 96 led to the balanced budget that I mentioned earlier that the Clinton administration was able to achieve. And as I also said, that when the Bush administration came in, that's when they reduced the tax rates and also put in a number of tax benefits for corporations, where a number of corporations are offshore. Through legislative gimmicks, they've been able to prevent paying income tax because they have registered their companies offshore or in foreign countries. And so there are a number of top U.S. firms that really pay no U.S. taxes on their company because they have taken them out of the U.S.
So there was a lot of finagling back and forth, you know, with money and with taxes.
Absolutely.
And but directly right now, today, how does this affect I'm a senior citizen now. How does this affect me?
Well,
am I still going to get my Social Security? Am I still going to get my pension?
Let's hold up on the answers to that question, because we're actually going to take a quick break.
Congressman, hold on for a minute, and then we'll be right back. Right, Ayanna? Right, Ty?
We'll be right back.
More of the Kay English Show.
Thompson, and yeah. I'm here with Tom on Washington, also filling in for Gus Henningberg. And I just want to give people
trying to fill in for Gus.
trying to fill in. Before we get back to the conversation, I want to just let folks know they can call into the show at 323-679-0906. That's 323-679-0906 and call in because we are talking with Congressman Donald Payne from New Jersey. And we're also on with our original host, Kay Thompson, who's talking with Congressman Payne. And
we were talking about the debt ceiling and what does that mean. And I know for my good friends over at the New Jersey peace movement led by Eric Anders Nelson.
Shout out to Eric Anders Nelson.
He would want me to ask, if we pull our troops out in all these wars, wouldn't that pretty much square us away?
Well, it would certainly go seriously to reducing the debt. There's no question about it. You know, up to now, it's been very difficult to make cuts in defense spending. The cost of the military that we have, which we spend more than all the countries in the world put together. This will certainly we will be able to draw down the cost. What will happen on the debt ceiling, just once again to make it clear, it will give the U.S. government $2.4 trillion of borrowing power. $400 billion goes in immediately.
Wow.
And and so that's to pay, you know, the Social Security and Medicare and those bills that are coming forward. But what has been happening, though, is that there have been cuts that have made. It was one reason that I voted against this raising of the – I wanted to see. Well, number one, we had to raise the debt ceiling. Had it not been raised, there would have been – economic calamity, not only in the U.S. but around the world. Mm-hmm. However, this was a plan that was written by the Republicans in the House, and I felt that since they got, in my opinion, 90%, the only thing we really got was to prevent this from happening until 2013 again, after the reelection of the president and senators and members of the House. If we had this much trouble now, 6 months from now, and then another 6 months from them, it would have been even worse. So
won't it be worse anyway, Donald, because of the fact that, you know, the United States had to raise the debt ceiling, because then it's like, look, I have all this money. I owe you. I decided I'm not going to owe you, so therefore it's going to cost me more money in the long shot. So isn't it just as bad as if it goes on for the next, you know, election period? Isn't the idea of all this to get rid of Obama?
That's what
the Republicans are doing, right?
Oh, well, there's no question about the fact that they made it clear from the day he was elected that their main goal was to get rid of President Obama. I mean, we've raised the debt limit as long as I've been in Congress. I mean, every year or two, the debt limits would be raised under.
So that didn't come in with Obama, just in case for these people listening who keep blaming him and calling him names like Tar Baby and that kind of nonsense.
Oh, it's been going on.
Which is really disrespectful and very negative.
Oh, it's been going on since the early 1900s.
Yeah.
I mean, this is nothing new. And but what is happening is that there are cuts that have been made, which is going to slow down the rate of debt. And as a matter of fact, there is a plan that the amount of increase in the debt will have to be offset by that same amount of cuts, which means then you're going to have a level, not an increase in debt spending. And the goal, of course, is then to start to have a reduction. Now, that cannot happen with cuts only, and that's why I seriously opposed this bill that came up several days ago. Mm-hmm. The only thing that was in this bill were cuts and no increase in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be able to cut yourself out of this recession or the debt problem without saying that billionaires and millionaires and corporations who pay no taxes and oil companies that get subsidies and farmers that get subsidies and the ethanol products that are used for making fuel, these subsidies have to be eliminated, and therefore we will have an increase in revenue along with the cuts. You just can't
cut yourself.
If they
pay their fair share.
Exactly.
So let's be clear. You voted against this. Am I correct?
Right.
And since there's a debt ceiling deal, you know, and it's been reached already, they're talking about a super committee. What is the super committee, and are they actually going to, be dealing with, you know, the future financial situation of this country?
Yes, the the special committee will be made up of 12 members of the House and the Senate combined. There'll be 6 senators and 6 members from the House. 3 of the senators will be Republicans, 3 will be Democrats. Same thing in the House. So it's going to be evenly divided between both parties.
Who picks them? How are they, how's this election process? Are you going to be on that committee?
I wish. They're going to be picked by the leadership of the Republican Party in the House, the Democratic Party in the House, by the leadership of the Republican Party in the Senate, and the Democratic leadership in the Senate. So,
well, how does one get to be picked? I mean, you've been there in Congress for, what, some 23 years, right? So how do you get to be on that committee?
It's going to be a decision made by the Speaker on their side and our, you know, minority leader, Nancy Pelosi, on our side. And it'll probably be people who are either in the budget committee or in the leadership that will be there at the negotiating table. Now, the mandate is to make recommendations to meaningfully improve short and long-term fiscal imbalance. In other words, the goal is to cut deficit to match dollar-for-dollar figure increases in the debt ceiling, with a goal of $1.5 trillion to match the future debt ceiling increases. In other words, we did a $2.4 trillion increase in the debt limit. $400 billion of that was made available on the signing of this legislation a day or two ago. Before this $400 billion is spent, this joint committee will have to meet and make recommendations for another $1.5 trillion cut. Now, with them continually saying that taxes, now, supposedly everything's on the table. The Republicans have already said they're not going to appoint anybody to their committee that is going to be in favor of any kind of tax increase. So they're sticking to this notion.
In other words,
that
they're
you can't
green.
Right. And so, yeah. and let me just explain quickly.
Let me just ask you this question. What can we, who are listening to you, trying to understand, you know, all this, you know, financial, it has been really very complicated. However, we're not there. We don't know how Congress really works. But what can we do to further our own ends here? In other words, should we all start calling the Republicans and tell them to get off their, you know what? And, you know, be fair with paying the debts and also paying a fair share, but since they're not paying a lot of the taxes that they should be paying. And how do we save ourselves from, you know, bankruptcy, from losing all the things that we have now? We're in a pretty dangerous situation here, aren't we?
Well, you see, cuts, which the Republicans are saying, are simply going to make the employment situation worse. As you know, it's 9.2% now in the general population, supposedly 16.2% in the black community. Of course, we know it's double that, at least.
Yeah.
And what happens with the reduction in available cash that, for example, the federal government, much of what the state, county, and city governments do, great deal of it comes from the federal government. Things like CBDG grants, community development block grants, LIHEAP, the low-income heating assistance, public housing money, Section 8 housing, where you pay a third of your income for rents and the federal government pays the rest. and the key word on that is income. So if you're making, yeah, you know, minimum wage $5-6 an hour, you pay at the end of the month a third of what you earn, which is very, very low. So the government might be paying $700-800, and you're paying, you know, $150, because that may be a third of your monthly income. And so these kinds of programs are certainly going to be reduced. You've got programs, WIC program, Women and Infant Care. You've got, you know, federal aid to Pell Grants for college students.
Child services.
All of that is going to be on the drawing board to be cut.
The kids who are in school right now, those going back to college are going to be having a problem because of these cuts. Am I right?
Sure. Plus, you reduce employees too. When you cut programs, that means that you have, for example, less teachers, you have less policemen, you have less hospital attendants at a state mental facility, for example, that might rely on reimbursement from the federal government. So, this whole reduction in the debt and the spending cuts really impacts on employment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So are we saying that this is going to make the recession worse?
Absolutely.
Because I think that is the common question across the country.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That ultimately the working person, or the non-working person even, is going to feel this harder than anyone else. But then the other end of that question is, honestly, what else is new?
Right.
You know,
absolutely,
and what actions can people take? Because we've already been forewarned for a couple of years now that this recession is coming. Any action that, you know, quite frankly, the government takes to, you know, so-called help out really just is them ensuring that they're going to continue to be able to spending money wherever they want to spend it. We get that. But what does it mean? Does it mean that milk is going to cost more? Does it mean that gas is going to cost more? Does it mean rent's going to cost more? And does it mean people are not going to have jobs? Because I think if you speak in language like that, then people can start to rally from a point of real information. You know,
exactly.
Billions, nobody gets it, but they do understand that they can't buy meat at the supermarket. They're going to be able to understand that they can't afford car fare.
Oh, there's no question about it, and it can be broken down to, I guess, the most basic, issue that most people have to deal with, especially those who are most impoverished, and that's transportation. That's the bus. The buses are subsidized by the federal government and state governments. You take the subsidies off, and the real cost of a bus fare goes up. That was one reason that when Governor Christie decided that he was going to start reducing the deficit that New Jersey had, they increased fares on trains going to New York. If you take the train from Newark to New York, you'll see the increase. The buses were supposed to go up even higher, and they reduced it to maybe just went up a 25 cents. So we're going to go up 50 cents a ride. So kids who are going to high school, you know, the cost of bus tickets, if they can get them, will go up because the subsidies will be removed, and therefore it's going to cost people more to do everything. Secondly, you're going to get less services. You're going to see snow not removed as fast because the cities won't have money to do snow removal. If we have hurricanes and trees fall down, it's going to take longer for the municipalities to come up and remove the trees. So the individual person is going to be losing time to get to work. Even if you go through the streets, if you're going towards New York and you go down through Raymond Boulevard and you find the potholes because of the rough winter that we had, and the cities are being unable to really fix potholes, you need to almost resurface the whole thing, not just fill the pothole. You need to take it up and resurface. They're not going to have money to do that.
Okay, we have a caller, and stand by.
Hi, caller. Hello?
Ariana.
Yes.
This is Eric.
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
All right, how you doing?
This is Eric from California.
Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Hey,
yes,
Eric.
Go right ahead.
Hi, Jay.
You're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Eric.
Am I on the air? Hey, Congressman.
Yes, you are.
All right.
How you doing? So,
well, thanks.
That's good. Glad to hear it. Let me just ask you, where do you see, what do you think the end game is going to be? Because I'm, as I sit here listening to you talk about cuts in services, and we, and Ayanna brought up the thing about basic products, food, and rent, and things like that. Where do you, it seems like there's an overall plan that they have, and I speak about the Republicans in particular, guided by or seem to be held hostage by the right wing end or the Tea Party end of their party. Do you see there's an end game? As you talk about transportation, I'm calling from California, and gas is a big thing. So, I've noticed that the transportation system is not the best out here. It's almost as if I thought that they want to keep people in certain areas. Or keep people, certain people out of certain areas.
Well, I think that's I think that's a great question, Eric. We're actually going to go to break right now, and when we come back, I know the congressman will answer that question for you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Kay and Gus Show, giving you a closer look. That's Pennies from Heaven, Billie Holiday. And before that, we heard Money's Too Tight to Mention. That's Simply Red. And Money by the Oldies. And you are listening to The Kay and Gus Show. I am Tylon Washington, standing in for Kay and Gus.
And I'm Ayanna Jones, learning from the best, Kay Thompson. And we have her on the line with us, as well as Congressman Donald Payne and Eric calling in from California. And when we took a break, he had a question for the congressman. What do we do? What does this all mean? What's the end game?
Well, there are people in this new Tea Party group that feel that government should have no role or minimum role in people's lives. They have this notion that it's just up to the individual. So if you're
Bush administration?
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
Where was the Tea Party during the Bush administration?
Well,
it's like he put us into all these wars, right? In Iraq, they had nothing to do with 9/11, and then Afghanistan, he put us there, and we had to spend all this money in these wars, and it was just spend. And what's going on now?
Well, you see, the thing is that these Tea Party people, most of them are in their first term. They have had nothing to do with politics. They came out saying we just are against government and we don't want them to tax us anymore, and so let's stop it. Of course, taxes pave roads. Taxes have FAA people controlling air control, which right now is having a problem. Taxes keep your water clean to make sure that arsenic isn't in it because inspectors check the tax. So they feel that we want the government out. Without the government, and they just deplore government regulations on food inspection and on safety for vehicles. They want to let the business, is sort of a laissez-faire. That's the French, leave us alone. Let's do what we want to do. And they don't like regulations from the government. You'll hear them say, we're overregulated. The whole debacle on Wall Street was because there were not regulations. And we created a Department of Consumer Affairs, which the Republicans are blocking from being filled so that a person from the government can oversee to protect the consumers. And so this small part, it wasn't so small, about 80 of them got elected. And this 80 of them, and that's why they weren't here when Bush was here, they had this great big election. They won a lot of seats. And what they've done is they've threatened the regular Republican Party. That's what's going on. They would not have the power that they have, but when we hear them being called like terrorists, they are holding hostage the regular Republicans. Now, a number of them are okay people. They're still conservative, but nothing like the Tea Party group. So the Tea Party has said, if you don't go along with what we say, we're going to run Tea Party people in every Republican district, and eliminate all of you moderate Republicans or Republicans who want to work along with Democrats for the betterment of the country. So even the speaker is being challenged. I don't know how close you've followed it, but it's a fellow named Eric Cantor, who
yes.
is second
mm-hmm.
to Speaker Boehner.
Mm-hmm.
He is waiting. He's salivating just to have Boehner stumble because he's the Tea Party choice to be the speaker. Boehner
yeah,
knows
very
it.
Negative. Mm-hmm.
And other regular Republicans, even in the state of New Jersey, you've
mm-hmm.
got two or three of the Republicans who are so regular Republicans. It's bad enough, but they're going to be challenged by Tea Party people. So
mm-hmm.
the answer is that we are going to have to get the word out to the American people that these people are un-American. They do not represent true American values. What we are going to have to do in the minority community is that we're going to have to really get our people organized to say that voting, a lot of people say, oh, my vote doesn't count. Well, that's what happened. A whole lot of people did not come out and vote. Same thing in New Jersey when Christie won. Christie had no chance in the world. They said, well, I don't like Corzine that much, so I'm just not going to vote. Christie won, and you see that it makes a difference what political party is in office.
Does Congressman, let me ask you, does this create, spinning off of what you're saying, does this create an opportunity now for Democrats where you have the infighting in the Republican Party and for a strong Democrat, maybe a little bit moderate, to come in there and be the voice of reason in those areas where the Tea Party wackos are challenging the other Republicans? Might this create an opportunity for the right Democrat to come in there and steal those seats?
Oh, there's no question. No question about it. A good case in point is the state of Delaware, where the U.S. Senate seat, the nomination was won by a Tea Party person. Remember that woman that said, I am no witch?
Right.
Well,
right,
she, to be truthful, Castle, who I've served with in the House, who was running for the Senate position on the Republican Party, was defeated by this woman in the primary, because what happens in primary elections, the primary election is an election for that particular party to select who they want to go into the general election. Now, the difficult thing about primaries is that if you motivate a certain ideology and those people come out, say, and vote 90%, even though they may only be 40 or 30%, of the thinking of the Republicans, but say the regular Republicans don't come out with that same veracity, the Tea Party person will defeat the regular Republican. Now, of course, what happened in Delaware, and I'm glad that she won, really, because believe
right.
it or not, Representative Castle, who was the normal Republican candidate, would 90% of the pundits say he would have won because he was a normal
right.
Republican. And it's a Republican state. But because she was so wacky that the Democrat was able to defeat her in the general when
easily.
When more people came out and said, well, mm-hmm. like this lady, she does not represent my thinking. So your point is well taken. If, in
but
fact, we can wake up people.
To wake up, take, I know this is kind of like off the topic, but I really wonder because, you know, a lot of folks, you know, whether or not you're Democratic or Republican, independent, you know, conservative, everybody makes fun of the Tea Party people. Everybody makes fun of the whack jobs. But the whack jobs are front and center right now. What I'm trying to figure out is what happened that would allow crackpots to take hold,
Obama.
You know, like
black,
like mold in this
it.
Way. I mean, it's mm-hmm. sort of scary how quickly it's happened. I mean, we, you know, we were saying, you know, we didn't think we were ever going to have a black president for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have one, and then here come all the boogeymen and the goblins and the trolls, you know, also known
mm-hmm.
as the Tea Party, that come out and are menacing everybody, and we're all scared of them, and we don't, like, as though they manifested out of nowhere. I just don't understand how they were able to take hold and so quickly that now this is something that we're contending with, that we can't even have intelligent political conversations about. Our society.
And the answer to that is that we have got to be cognizant of exactly what's going on regarding politics. A lot of people say, well, I'm not going to go and vote. Well, you should vote, because now it's right in our backyard, and we've got to be very aware of exactly what the problems are and who you're going to vote for. It's very important for us to get out and vote. A lot of people say, oh, I'm not going to vote. Well, if you don't vote, you're going to get a situation like you have right now. Okay?
And one of the ways to practice voting is by actually calling into the Kay and Gus Show at 323-679-0906. If you'd like to hear your voice heard or have your questions answered, 323-679-0906.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Congressman.
And actually, an answer to your question, I think that people were shocked and surprised, really, as much as we were when President Obama was elected. We were hoping, we were fighting, we were doing everything we could, and it happened. And so this was just unbelievable. And what happened was that he was such a superior candidate to McCain, who was tired and in the past, and Obama was full of new ideas and sharp and, you know, really what
Rock
presidential. Up. Right. So he won the election. I think, though, that our success, because people were afraid to vote for McCain, and many voted for Obama, who would not. Of course, young people made a big difference. The large number of minorities who voted made a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that after a year or half a year or so, people who forgot the fear that they had of McCain, of what a poor president he would be and where he would lead us, then their natural instincts started to come out. Perhaps Obama got the vote because of their fear of such a poor leader that the Republicans had nominated, and it was Sarah Palin being a vice presidential candidate.
Yeah.
They just said, we got to go, anything's better than them, so we'll vote for Obama. Now the racists have started to work from day one when he got elected.
Mm-hmm.
And people now have had a chance to sit down and review, and many of them are probably saying, I can't believe I voted for the black guy. That's why they questioned his birth certificate. And
yeah.
Now they said he's acting like he's a European. He sent a letter commending people on Ramadan. Now, Fox News have, oh, my goodness, he's extending that to the Muslims. Well, George Bush did the same thing. In fact, every president has done the same. But because he does it, they make it sound, and they give half truth. They don't say that Bush did it, too. They just said that Obama did it. So people assume this is the first president that had ever extended greetings to Ramadan. So
they have these
slick ways of throwing misinformation out.
Yeah.
And in many instances, those people that watch Fox News, they don't get the other side of the story.
You know, Congressman, let's be very frank with it. There are some people who are still hardcore racist, and they probably always will be, and they don't like the fact that there is an African-American president, period. And they will do anything to get him out of office, even if it amounts to them cutting off their noses to spite their faces, which is exactly what they're doing. But anyway, thank you very much. I know we're coming close to the end of the show. Ayanna and Ty and Eric and Congressman Donald Payne, listen, you're going to have to come back, because there's a lot of other things that we have to talk to him about. Am I right, guys?
That's right.
Yeah.
I just have to say that, you know, I think shows like this are really important, because when you have these conversations about politics and you really get into the details, it's okay to talk about in layman's terms, but if you have them side by side, I think it really helps. So if somebody says, I don't even know what this debt ceiling is, well, here's what it is in plain terms. And then here's what it is. Here's what they're voting on. Here's the paperwork that they're floating around. So you can start to understand that language. You can start to interpret what it is you're hearing on television, because, you know, a lot of it's confusing to me. I'll be honest with you, too. But knowing that, you know, somebody like Congressman Payne is willing to stay and take the time and break it down.
Yeah.
Is really a resource and a tool for the community.
Absolutely.
So true, so true. And I'd like to say this, too. Thank you, Ty, and thank you, Ayanna, and thank you, Congressman Donald Payne. I'm not there in the studio, but Gus and I will be back, you know, next week. I'm ready to roll, you know, feeling a whole lot better. And thank you very much, Ty Lyme Washington, and BW Moving Images, located in Jersey City. I mean, you can't get a better production company, folks, I'm telling you. They do a little bit of everything. Thanks to you, Ayanna. Thanks to Shauna Glover. and Tylon and Lisa Payne and you, Ayanna, and everybody. Congressman Donald Payne, we'll talk to you another time. I'm signing off, and thank you, guys.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Well, you've just been listening to the Kay and Gus Show. This is Ayanna Jones filling in for Kay.
And I am Tylon Washington filling in for Gus Henningberg.
So before we go, you might have noticed us mentioning GoPro Radio Network. If you're interested in finding out more about that, it's a radio network that we are hosting here at BW Moving Images. Those of you who want to be on the radio, you know, Blog Talk Radio is available for everybody to use. But sometimes people need an engineer. They need an extra boost. They need somebody to help them market their show, make
they
it sound, give it that professional edge.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do that. And you can give us a call at 212-696-8562 to get more information.
What's that number again?
212-696-8562.
Mm-hmm.
Or visit us on our website.
What's the website?
I'll tell you. It's www.bwmovingimages.com. And we also have a page on Facebook, something like that, under Black Wax.
Okay.
And, we would really love to help
we're
make
doing
your
a lot
show.
Of things here, right?
There's nothing that we don't do that when it's involving multimedia. Well, we have an independent film that's coming out. Now, the reason I'm being asked to talk about Diary of the Dragon is because it's being directed by yours truly, Tylon Eusebio Washington, who also directed Disappearing Voices, The Decline of Black Radio.
Right.
We're doing a documentary on the life of Fred Ho, musician, activist,
mm-hmm.
Cancer survivor,
farmer.
And part-time farmer. And it's really, really going great, but we need everybody's help to really support
film.
It.
It's an important film.
And
it's a film that's going to resonate with everybody who sees this film.
And we're in fundraising mode for that right now. So
how could they help?
They can help us by going to Kickstarter.com and looking up Diary of the Dragon.
That's like kicking someone.
Like you kickstart a bike or
okay.
a car,
mm-hmm.
Kickstarter.com mm-hmm. and look up Diary of the Dragon, The Revolution of Fred Ho, and donate because independent media is needed now
but
more
you
than ever.
You see how important it is to donate independent media because you have shows like the Kay and Gus Show and you have very little places for people to get real information like we had the congressman on today.
Mm-hmm.
Mainstream media is basically entertainment now. You know, so if you want real journalism, if you want anything of any real substance or value, documentaries are really substituting for what you would typically get on the news.
Mm-hmm.
So in this film, The Diary of the Dragon, is so very critical to everyone who is going to deal with health issues, in the future.
It's critical to musicians who are trying to make it outside of the matrix that is the music industry. It's critical for any thinking person who is trying to make an impact on their society. And it's critical for anyone who wants to understand how we can impact our society as the content providers, as filmmakers, as storytellers. And so I think that is going to do a really good job of opening all those doorways. And the trailer's up on Kickstarter.com. It's amazing, put together again by Tylon. And not to toot your horn or everything, but it's a fantastic, fantastic trailer, narrated by Bob Martin.
That's right. Bob Martin, he did a fantastic job now.
I want to shout out a couple of people if I can. Anna Pereiro, I don't know if you're listening out there, Anna.
Hey, what's up, Anna?
She's the director of photography with the Mostest. And Shauna Glover, our wonderful editor, who's
at
also
large.
Engineering the show. Thanks, Shauna.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget Diana, a writer.
Diana Ariola, who is our intern from heaven and a fantastic writer and creative person,
mm-hmm.
majoring in journalism.
Jahan Ponte.
And CUNY. Jahan Ponte, who just has held so many roles here at BW Moving Images. She's integral to the fabric of this company. Jared Burnett, who is one of our more recent interns who we love. He's also an aspiring
filmmaker.
Our production assistant, Tyana Washington, who has just been amazing in the control room, and also Tatiana Washington. We could not do anything without them. They've also been wonderful on several of our productions, including Diary of the Dragon, and we've gone out to shoots, and also Disappearing Voices, The Decline of Black Radio.
Sean is holding up a sign saying, also shout out Marsha Coleman Adebayo.
Oh, that's right, who was instrumental in bringing the No Fear Act about that helps whistleblowers to
and
be able
maybe
to
have her on the show.
yes, tell what's going on in government whenever there are, you know, there's wrongdoing or violations of the law, mm-hmm. and being able to report those without fear of retaliation.
Right.
And actually, I think Danny Glover, who is a good friend of the congressman that we just heard today on the show, talking about doing a film on Marshall.
Right. Well, I know we're going to try to put something together for her as well, because what she's doing is so incredible, so important. With what's going on with the Vanadium mines
in South Africa.
In South
She's
Africa,
thinking too. Of doing a show here on GoPro Network.
That's going to be fantastic. I can't
wait. She has a wealth of information to give mm-hmm. to people, so I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, we have. Oh, you're doing a show. We should talk about your show coming up in September, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Anna Jones. She's going to.
I'll be doing a show. The format, that's under wraps right now, but I guarantee you once we start promoting it, it's mm-hmm. probably going to be one of the most listened to shows, not because I'm hosting it, but because, you know, we're really striving
sure,
to bring you
hosting
something
it.
That you want to hear. Well, everybody who knows me knows how passionate I
yes,
am about
very,
media
very,
and
very.
How passionate I am about
everything.
Changing the world for the better. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just saying I'm committed to bringing people the best radio show that I possibly can. So www.bwmovingimages.com. Because listen, not only do we have the GoPro Radio Network, not only are we working on Diary of the Dragon, the Revolution of Fred Hull, not only do we put out Disappearing Voices, the Decline of Black Radio, but we also provide production services for those people who can't do it themselves. You know, one of the initiatives that we're working on right now, your story.
Mm-hmm.
Listen,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to be famous to have a movie made about your life, and you don't have to be famous to want to sit down and tell your autobiography. Society is made up of the fabric of all of our stories, right? So what if you don't have a camera, or what if you don't know how to use one, or what if you can't afford to have some big company come out and do your autobiography and film you? You can come to BW Moving Images and we can do that for you for an affordable price, because we believe, like I said, in putting the power of storytelling in the hands of the actual storyteller himself, not waiting for mainstream media to tell your story. You can do it yourself. So if you visit our website, you can email us, you can hit us up on the website, and we'll send you a quote. It's as simple as that. And everything that we do at BW Moving Images is geared toward helping people to tell their story.
Right.
And
so
excellence.
Important.
And excellence.
But believe it or not, with all this technology and so forth, there's fewer and fewer places where you can go and get valuable information.
But if you do have a budget and you need a commercial, a webisode, if mm-hmm. you need an electronic press kit, if you need a music video done, if you need a documentary done, a short film, a feature film, you know, we can do all that too. We
well,
have
we
all
have
our own equipment
here. We
have
a job this weekend
here.
Where we're going to fishing.
Right. So, I mean, we travel, mm-hmm. we go all around, and I think our reputation is growing as the go-to company for all of your multimedia needs.
Well, before we go, I want to definitely thank Kay Thompson and Gus Henningberg. And
get well, Gus.
Yeah, thank them, and also hopefully they'll get to be 100% to come back next week.
I want to thank Tylon Washington for being a wonderful co-host today.
I'm furniture. What's up? I want to thank Ayanna Jones for always being there.
Well, you've been listening to
so
the K.
Fantastic. You know, thanks for doing this in this way. You know, yeah, that was really good. I just talked to the company really good.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See, I like this. We get real-time feedback on how we did. All right. Well, thanks, Kay.
Thank you, guys.
Spelled up your O, he'll make it. Oh, yeah. I'm a woman. I'm a Russian wind. I'm a woman.
friends.